You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You join me here on RNIB Connect Radio on London's Bankside at Tate Modern, and I'm with Andrew De Burne, who is the Assistant Curator of International Art here at Tate, and we're here for the Theatre Picasso exhibition. Hello, Andrew, and thank you for joining me here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Yeah, of course. Really a pleasure to be chatting to you, and thank you so much for coming.
And the Theatre Picasso exhibition sort of centres on the centenary of the Free Dancers, which he painted in 1925. And this exhibition is a staging of most of his work, but I think brings over sort of 45 pieces of Picasso's work. Firstly, Andrew, would you mind sort of giving me a bit of an overview and maybe a bit of description of the Free Dancers?
Of course, yes. So The Three Dances is one of the most incredible works that we have in the Tate collection. We're very lucky to hold it and to be displaying it. It's actually quite a large painting. We were kind of struck by how large the painting is when we first saw it. It feels like it's taller than the height of a person, but it depicts these three figures in a kind of very stylized manner that's very synonymous with Picasso. And they are performing. There's an incredible sense of movement between the three figures as they're kind of performing in his studio space. And it's a really fascinating work, the story behind it. It kind of depicts these three figures that were in Picasso's life, that there was this kind of very intense love triangle between. So one of the figures in the foreground is performing with their hands in the air. The figure to the left is kind of doing this kind of very stylized, very energetic dance and leaning their back kind of in quite an exaggerated way behind the central figure. And then there's another figure to the right in the back, which is a very kind of shadowed figure who's performing as well. And the shadowed figure, well, is also dancing, but it represents a friend of Picasso's, another fellow artist, Ramon Pichet, who died that year. And so in many ways, it was kind of an expression of kind of the dance of life, but also kind of thinking about death and the death of his friend and kind of mourning the passing of his friend in this kind of really dramatic and tragic circumstance. So it's a really complex, really fascinating work that has this incredible movement to it. And yeah, looks incredible, placed on the stage, and you think of them as these performing dancers who are kind of live in front of you.
And the exhibition, as I say, it's staged here at Tate Modern, and it brings not only his drawings and his paintings, his sculpture, some of his sort of collage work as well. And he was very much drawn to sort of, I suppose, the performing arts, performers, circus artists and dancers and everything else. There was a big sense of theatricality in the work that's on display.
This is really true. He was fascinated with performers and the performing arts and people who are kind of generally marginalized by society. He kind of found them endlessly fascinating and wanted to engage with them and depict them and kind of really kind of explore their lives. And yes, I mean, one of the most incredible stories that we found out through the research of the exhibition was that Picasso was a relatively unknown artist before he engaged with the performing arts. It's really his engagement with the Ballet Russe and Diaghilev and kind of his engagement with the performing arts that he really kind of catapulted him into kind of being the famous, well-known artist that he is. And kind of he enjoyed kind of establishing himself and kind of establishing his sort of brand, so to speak, which really kind of came out of this world of performance. And so it's really fascinating to think about the context in which he kind of developed as an artist and kind of took on this sense of theatricality in his practice as he was kind of becoming more and more well-known.
And it's interesting you talk about brand, because there is a real sort of sense of his brand identity, which I think people nowadays would probably relate to. How much, I suppose, did he want people to see him as he wanted to be seen rather than the true Picasso?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really fascinating thing that we kind of wanted to explore and critique in the exhibition. He really kind of was establishing himself and was one of the first artists to really establish himself as sort of this, you know, male genius who was kind of really shaping the way that we look at art and think about modern art, and which is true. And, you know, he kind of remains kind of one of the most foundational artists for many kind of collections like Tate and other institutions throughout the world. But we really wanted to kind of think about how he was kind of performing this act himself, and in many ways looking at him as a performance artist who was deeply complex and very kind of multifaceted. We really kind of look at kind of the various aspects of his personality and how he's engaged with various people and figures in his life, and it remains kind of this kind of fascinating character that defines how we look at modern art today, continues to. And so we thought it would be a really fascinating thing on the anniversary of the Three Dancers and kind of at the 25th anniversary of Tate Modern to really think about his place in the history of our institution and his continued importance, but also looking at the kind of complexity of him as a character and how he really cultivated this own kind of persona, this public persona.
And the way this exhibition has been, as I say, staged, it's very much as if you're sort of going behind the theatre, you're moving backstage and you're coming onto on stage and seeing, in a way, performance through his work.
Well, exactly. And we really wanted to create that sense that you're coming behind the scenes, not just of the theatre space, but also kind of peeking behind the curtain of Tate as an institution as well, and talking about how we have collected Picasso and kind of the importance of his history within our institutional history as well. And so we talk a lot about the history of Tate and how we've engaged with Picasso. But then, yes, as you first enter the exhibition space, you come into what is kind of seems like it kind of resembles an art storage space. And so there's many different really amazing works from Tate's collection that are kind of stored on these racks and kind of almost like a salon hang kind of space in the second room of our show. And then you slowly kind of weave through the exhibition a bit more and you get the sense like there's very quite a raw exhibition design, which has beautifully been designed by Lucy Raybould in Royal Studio in France. And then slowly as you move through the exhibition, you start to realize that you are on the stage and that it kind of takes on this kind of very kind of intimate and kind of experiential quality. One of the things people might notice when they came into the show as well is that we've got this big projection of the film The Mystery of Picasso by Clouseau, which was a great kind of collaboration between the two of them. But that kind of creates that sense of liveness and kind of dynamism in the exhibition space. So it does feel like there's a liveness to the exhibition and being on the stage. The lights very subtly change with the music, and the music kind of rises and falls in different areas of the exhibition. So it's really kind of, it becomes quite an experiential exhibition. So you come in and it's not kind of your typical way of experiencing Picasso. It's quite intimate and it's really quite dynamic. So we're excited for people to kind of experience it and to see how they respond to those works.
And in The Mystery of Picasso, he is almost performing as well. I'm not sure whether it's a true depiction of him that we see, because I think it's his persona, his character that we're seeing.
Well, exactly. And he like very carefully curated his performance, and he did several of these kind of collaborations with filmmakers to kind of try to establish himself as this kind of male genius who was kind of creating these works. And it is very performative. So a lot of the works that, I mean, the film is mostly him creating these paintings and creating these scenes, which were all destroyed. None of them kind of survive, but it really is just looking at the process of how his mind works and how quickly he can create something that's so intimate and something so extraordinary. And it is kind of really kind of just exploring how his process works. So it's a fascinating film. We're really excited for people to see it. It's got a beautiful soundtrack as well, which our artist collaborators Wu Sang and Enrique Fuenteblanca, they really kind of picked up on the music element of this show, of this film, and wanted to make that sort of the central piece of the exhibition. So yeah, it's fascinating to see.
And it's interesting that we see a lot of the relationship between him and his models as well, because we see people sort of constantly being, in some ways, painted and reproduced in the exhibition.
That's right. And one of the things that Wu Sang and Enrique Fuenteblanca and us as the curatorial team really wanted to kind of think about and look critically at our own collection of Picassos in the show. And we were thinking about the various categories that you could group these works into. And one of them was, portraits, and mostly portraits of women and very important women in his life. And so we wanted to put them all side by side. And one of the fascinating things that we tried to do with the hang was that we wanted to hang all of the portraits of all of the women at eye level. So they're all at eye height. So they really kind of meet the viewer's gaze in a really fascinating way, which is great to kind of see them all together. But then also you can see the progression of Picasso's style. So from all of the various kind of relationships that he's had with women, his style of painting has changed. And so they all kind of are very different interpretations and very stylistic in different ways, and cubist and kind of very exaggerated. And it's kind of fascinating to see his development through that relationship and those depictions of those women who are so foundational in his life.
And there's some great works that are on loan as well. And one which sort of, in a way, stood out for me towards the end of the tour this morning was the woolen, woven and silk tapestry, the Minotaur. Mm. And that's, I think, in many ways, part of how he wanted people to see him, perhaps?
Yes, definitely. Almost sort of this mythological figure. And yeah, it's such a beautiful tapestry. It's one of the works that we're so lucky to have. It's never been publicly shown in the UK before, so we're really excited to have it. It's from the Musée Picasso in Antibes in the south of France. And it's this beautiful depiction of Picasso. It's the first depiction of himself as the Minotaur, this half-man, half-beast figure from mythology, which is a kind of a motif that he returned to several times in his career, depicting himself as this mythological figure. So it kind of really speaks to how even he viewed himself as quite a complex character, but also wanted to cultivate his own status as this kind of very complex but like mythological figure who has this kind of incredible status. So it's a beautiful work, and even the kind of the fabric of the tapestry speaks to the language of theatre. It was a really kind of appropriate kind of installation towards the end of the show, a kind of one of the beautiful end notes of the exhibition that we wanted people to experience on the way out. So I'm glad it's delayed to you. That's really great.
And do we ever actually see behind that theatrical mask of Picasso at all through this exhibition?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, of course. And he's just such a deeply complex character, and it's just fascinating to see endlessly performing and incredibly persuasive and charismatic, but also, you know, you can always see how complicated he is as a character, and visitors can really kind of see that even from the first entry room. And the very first work that you see when you arrive is Picasso smoking and performing as Carmen. That's one of the kind of video snippets of Picasso that really stood out to Wu-Sang and Enrique Fuenteblanca, which is not a kind of a very prominent or well-known piece of film footage. It's from the Man Ray film La Garoupe, and it's only a 30-second clip, but they just saw that as incredibly striking to see him performing as Carmen, who's this kind of very complex, kind of almost mythological figure herself in Spanish folklore and Spanish culture. And to see that relationship between those two figures was almost an incredible kind of insight into his mind. So yeah, an endlessly fascinating examination of Picasso as the man, the artist, and this legend who remains so foundational and important today for so many.
Well, the Theatre Picasso exhibition continues here at Tate Modern until the 12th of April 2026, and guided audio described tours can be booked in advance by either emailing hello@tate.org.uk or by calling 020 7887 8888. Andrew, thank you so much indeed for chatting with me here on RNIB Connect Radio and give me a great insight into the Theatre Picasso exhibition here at Tate Modern.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for coming.
For more interviews, features, and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.